I stopped last time with verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. And it was kind of a natural break in the chapter. And he starts verse 10 off with that familiar word, wherefore. In other words, because I said all this right here, and I'm not going to go back and teach all that, he's going to come to a conclusion. Now, this is Peter writing this epistle, the second epistle. They call it General of Peter. And it's toward the end of his life and his pastoral preaching career. And he's definitely zeroed in doctrinally with the church. Early in his ministry, he was really struggling with how the Jews were doing it and how the Gentiles were invited in by the Lord. And he struggled with, wow, you know, and Paul comes along and straightens that out, which Jeremiah has been teaching in the book of Acts, through the book of Acts, on how the church worked, how it functioned, and he talked a lot about that. So these two, his series of messages and my verse by verse in Sunday school are definitely related. And if you're on that page paying good attention, you'll see the continuity between the two books. And what that does, that strengthens our faith, our doctrine, and helps us to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about here at the church. And I want to do verse 10. And there's so much in verse 10 and verse 11. So I'm just going to read two verses this morning for the Sunday school class. He says, wherefore the rather. In other words, on another note, let me, because I said all that, wherefore the rather, brethren, saved people, saved folks, not talking to the world, not talking to the Jews anymore. He's talking to brethren, saved folks. Give diligence. Remember, we had a vocabulary list last week, and diligence was one of the words in the vocabulary list. Give diligence to make your, here's the meat of it, calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. The big problem out there in Christendom today, Christianity today, people fall by the wayside. People fall out. They can't get in. If they get in, they're in for a minute and they're gone. They fall out. So verse 11, we'll include it. For so an entrance, and this is the way the Old English put it, and that word has a ramification I'll discuss in a minute. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the word entrance here can be, it's more like the word a party, a graduation, a ceremony. But the word entrance was used commonly in the Old English, and it's still preserved here for us. It's an interesting word. Another reason why we should be interested in the words the Holy Spirit chose, and now today the word party, we think of drinking, cavorting, and carrying on. But that's not how it was back then. But the word chosen is entrance, and the word party at one time just meant this party is waiting to be seated. I know you've heard that. Yeah, because you stood at line two at the steakhouse or the Cracker Barrel. Would the party of Phil Gabbert please step forward, please? And when they seen all 21 grandkids, and no, just kidding. But today, if somebody says, are you partying? We think, okay, we think. Hear that word interest is used. Enough of that. Let's go back. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, now that reference is to first, and I want to, the focus here is going to be on the call. Okay, and that's very interesting because I've had so many questions over the years. Called, what does that mean? What, do you hear a voice? Does somebody touch you? Does somebody knock on your door? They called you. Watch, and we'll look at it in the light of what the Scripture teaches. Give diligence to make your calling an election, sure. So we're dealing with actually two words, calling and election. And so we need to have a pretty good grip on what the Scripture means when it says calling and election. And so I would say, number one, point A, under that, the reference is to first, the call to be saved. You say, how do you know that? Because wherefore the rather, quote-unquote, brethren. A brother or a sister in the Lord, considered brethren, the brethren of the church, are saved people, as we term the word saved. Now, I'm not going to take time to define saved, run it all through the Scriptures. I want to focus rather on our text, which is the call, the calling of God. And so, I definitely have to make a difference between the call to salvation and the call to ministry or to preach or teach. There's a difference. Now, everybody's called to be a witness once you're saved. But let's deal with the calling of God unto salvation. A lot of folks, I've been saved forever, man. What are you talking about? I was born in America, man. I'm a Christian. You know, well, that don't make you saved. Well, my mom and dad were saved. That don't make you saved. Well, I go to church all the time. Going to church don't make you saved. I believe the Bible. That don't make you saved. Well, I believe in God. Good. That don't make you saved. You say, what? Oh, now, yeah, because we need to boil it down and get to the crux of this thing so there's no confusion about when God calls you unto salvation. People think, I went up and shook the preacher's head. I'm in. No, you ain't. Well, I got mine. I got baptized. Nobody asked me any questions. I know I'm in. No, you ain't. You're just wet. So we need to doctrinally deal with the calling unto salvation. Well, Shay, how do you deal with something like that? Oh, the only way you can deal with it is first, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Well, yeah, I said I did. Oh, okay, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. You say, why? Because we're going to use it for the authority, because it's God's holy Word on whether you've been called unto salvation or not. Oh, Brother Phil, my mother said I was saved. That don't make you saved. By the way, all parents want their kids saved, so they're liable to say anything. Amen. Well, my grandmother said I was saved. She remembered when I got saved. It don't have nothing to do with granny remembered or grandpa remembered or anybody remembered. This thing here is personally between you and God. Period. Say, oh, okay, so let's look at it. Romans 8:28 says this, and we use this verse of Scripture all the time, but I want you to notice something in the verse. Apostle Paul is writing here to this group of folks, and he says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. Now, you know the verse already. You say, oh, yeah, I know that verse. Somebody dies and people struggle with it. We quote that verse. Somebody has an automobile accident or somebody's boyfriend leaves them or girlfriend. We quote that. I get it. But I want you to notice the verse a little more careful. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are. Now, he lines it out. Called according to his purpose. So he's definitely singled a group out, the called group. And could I say this? Although the call goes out to all men, all folks don't receive, they don't respond to the call. You say, why? Because it's a spiritual call. It's not a literal physical call. It's not an audible call. It's a call from God, and God is a spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and truth. So it's a call in your heart. It's a call that affects your soul. So watch it. And by the way, could I say this? Let me give you one more verse, and this other verse that's on my mind. I'll find it someplace here, and I'll recomment. But he says, called according to his purpose. I'm thinking, and I probably got it here in my notes somewhere. I'm thinking of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Because people say, well, God just called a couple. God didn't call everybody. Sorry, he called everybody. But most folks aren't listening. And even if they hear the call, they say, nah, I don't want none. You say, how do you know God called everybody? We're in Peter. This is probably the cornerstone verse for this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack, and no, the Lord is not slack, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And by the way, if He promises, He's never broken a promise, ever, never will. It's as good as gold. He's God. He says, if this book is our authority, and it is. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. There are people that would discredit the Lord in this. But is long-suffering to usward, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that, watch that little three-letter word there, all should come to repentance. Look, He didn't die on the cross for a couple folks. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. When God came up with the plan before the foundation of the world to help humanity, it wasn't just for three or four folks over there or 100 over there. It was for the Bible says the whole world, for God so loved the world. And that's not worldly things. That's the people that make up the world. Let me go back to where I was as we look at our verse in our lesson, wherefore the rather brethren give diligence to make your calling. Okay, we're dealing with the word calling. And we give you Romans 8:28, 2 Peter 3:9. And then let me further the thought here, develop the thought with the Word of God, not my idea, but the Scriptures. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. So there's a calling. There's not one or two obscure passages on this. There are many. And you say, well, I got an obscure passage over here. Always compare the obscure passage in light of the crystally clear passages. But we're going to deal with the crystal clear. 2 Timothy 1:9. We studied 2 Timothy not too long ago. But he said, who hath saved us? Now, we used that term a minute ago. Are you saved this morning? Or we would say, have you been called unto salvation? We'll develop the whole call. We'll go through the call to salvation. And then I want to touch on the call to ministry, the call to preach. Be careful. Here, this is the call to salvation. Who hath saved us, be careful, and called us, here's how He did it, with a holy calling. So it's not a normal calling. And holy means set aside. It means the word holy. Remember our study on the vocabulary of the word holy and the Word of God? We have a holy Bible there. There's no other Bible like it. It's set aside. Now, we know it's a righteous book, a good book, a pure book. But the word holy is something different. It's individualized. It's one thing. Now, we always thought that the word holy meant more like perfect. Now, it can mean that, but you'd have to put it in the context to get that out of it. And so the word holy here is reference to something from the throne of God, something that man doesn't have, but man needs. So be careful. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. And then that verse in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with His holy calling, not according to our works. People get this all messed up. Well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. It don't matter. He even told the Pharisees, he said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. And then he goes on to say, all have sinned. Just those Pharisaical folks won't admit it yet. But one day they'll have to. Pretty confusing. But according to His own purpose and grace, our lesson on grace last week, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So we learn a valuable lesson about saved people. They're called. It's called to what? Called to salvation. Galatians 1:6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. And he writes to the Galatian people, they were struggling with the simple plan of salvation. They were struggling with their call. They were mixing other things in. Jeremiah is doing an ample job of teaching in the book of Acts. He was over in Acts chapter 15 not too many days ago. And he showed you about the Judaizers that come down from Jerusalem. And they were steeped in the doctrines of the Jewish way unto God, which was all about works. And that's where Peter was struggling. He didn't know if he was a Jew one day or a Gentile the next day. And Paul sorted all that thing out. By the time you get to Acts 16, you've had what is known as the great debate. You've heard us speak about it. I'm not going to run over there. I'm just simply bouncing off of what his study is and bringing it here to this class, showing you why Peter's saying what he's saying. So there was a lot going on in the book of Acts, very transitional book. It's going to grace. Watch what he says here in Galatians 1:6. Paul is dealing with Galatian people, the Gauls, who were struggling by adding works to their salvation. And by the way, works comes from the legal footprint of the law in the Old Testament. And when somebody says, you're a legalist, it really doesn't mean you have one more conviction than somebody else. It means that you're adding the works of the law to your salvation. And guess what? That won't get you saved. You say, why? Because it changed since the cross. It's not by works anymore. It's by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So come on back to that thing. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you. Removed from who? Him. Who's the him? Holy Ghost of God. Not talking about an Old Testament priest here. He says, watch, and it develops, the thought develops. Removed from him that called you. Who called you? The Holy Ghost. Into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I want you to know there are other gospels out there. We preach the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection. Person is called unto salvation. But there are other gospels. There's the gospel of works. There's the gospel of baptism. There's the gospel of baptismal regeneration. That's a mouthful. That's where they believe if you take the wafer and drink the wine, you've partaken of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, and you're now saved. Bible doesn't teach that at all. I can take you right over to John chapter 6, verse 63, and he says these words that I... And he's, that's where he says, save you, eat my body, and that's right where they go, but they don't read the rest of it. He said, these words that I preach unto you, they are spirit and they are truth. In other words, it's not the literal interpretation, but the spiritual interpretation, so you've got to pay attention to what the Bible's saying. And a lost person won't get that. You say, why? Because the natural man, that's a lost person, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. He can't handle it. He can't get it. He don't believe it. Well, that's just what you're making it say. No, you're like that because there's no Spirit in you, no Holy Ghost in you, no teacher, no guide, no light, no illuminator. Once you get saved, now you have the propensity to grasp the things of the Spirit of God. It's very difficult to deal with, in a religious age as we are, with somebody that will try to tell you they're saved and they've never been called unto salvation, or if they have, they're holding to something else other than Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hold on to church membership. Hold on to their mother or their father. Hold on to water baptism. Yeah, we've dealt with it all. I've dealt with it all over my life. You say, what do you do? Well, the Bible says you come in simple childlike faith. In other words, you're laying down your religion. You're laying down your grandma and your grandpa. You're laying down your mom and dad. You're laying down your brothers and sisters. You're walking away. You say, what are you doing? You're turning from all that stuff and you're turning only to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, God, I hear your call. I'm trusting in you and you alone. And only at that time, when you can lay it all down, you say, what is that? That's repentance. Turning from everything else. Most folks never repent. Man, they got a little red wagon they're pulling. They got their religion in there. They got their works in there. They got their sin in there. And they'll come on up to the altar, pull that little red wagon. Yeah, I want to get in today. Preacher said, let me pray with you. Oh, okay. He'll get down and start praying. Oh, God, help this sinner. They'll tap him on the shoulder and say, boy, are you talking about me? Yeah, I'm talking about you. Aren't you a sinner? Well, not like that. Oh, what'd you come for? Well, I come to get saved, but I can't lay my religion down. And they'll turn around and walk back to their pew pulling that little red wagon with their religion in it, their family in it, their works in it, their sin in it. You following me? They've been called, but they didn't receive the call. The gift had been offered to the Holy Ghost of God, but they rejected the gift because they wanted to come their way. You say, what is that? That's why churches are full of lost people. They claim to be saved, but they've never turned loose of their religion, their baptism, their works, whatever it is that's holding them down. Sometimes it's just pride. I'm just too good. I'm good enough. Well, I'm as good as Brother Phil down there. I guarantee you're better than me. But let me tell you something, sister. Let me tell you something, brother. Let me tell you something, friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without my mother, without my father, without any religion. I was only 12 years old, but I knew I was a sinner. I said, God, save me. Lord, save me. Jesus, save me. If you don't save me, nobody's going to save me. And I got saved. Then I've been able to build on that. The call and the salvation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. We're studying Peter anyway. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. That's where we're at. But the God of all grace. Well, I'm in 2 Peter. I'm sorry, we were in Peter, I meant. But 1 Peter 5:10, we had this last time when we studied. But the God of all grace. And that's God grace. That's saving grace. God of all grace, and I have to make that distinction because there's so many graces out there. I showed you last week about true grace. You say, why did he make that distinction? Because there's grace that's not true. I quoted a Baptist preacher over in the 1800s that had a whole thesis written on what is cheap grace. And he covered these very things. This has been around a long time. This has been a battle a long time. Watch. He says, who have called us, there's the call again, unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You want to know why people aren't settled? You want to know why their homes are confused? You want to know why they're upside down and they're upset about this or upset about that? But the whole time they say, I'm saved. No, you ain't. And no preacher will get up and say, you ain't saved. Somebody will come along and say, well, pray for my husband, man. He's sure acting a fool. I just want you to pray that he get right. I said, hold up, sister. Let's pray this way. If you don't know if he's saved, well, he says he's saved. Well, he don't go to church. He don't love God. He don't spend no time in the Word of God. He don't like the people of God. What's your first clue? He's just like the world. Well, he says he's okay. I don't care what he says. His actions speak louder than his words. That's a very common problem among human beings. Have you ever noticed? Say, well, how do you think I should pray for him? Pray, get saved, man. Don't pray, turn over a new leaf. Because in 6 months, you'll have the same problem again. Pray to get saved. Because, brother, when you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And, brother, you're a different person. He ain't the mean old scoundrel he always was. Drinking on the side, running on the side, doing what he wants. Spent the grocery money somewhere on a pinball machine. I guess I'm dating myself. They don't even have pinball machines anymore. That's back when my dad was young. You know what I'm saying? Stevie. But the saved, called unto salvation in Jude 1:1, the little book of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James. And man, this guy had Jewish roots, if anybody did, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Watch this. And called. Somebody ever, have you ever been called, brother? Yeah, I've been called unto salvation. I know that emphatically. I know that for sure. I know I got issues. I know I got struggles. I know I got problems. But I know I'm saved today, and I want to do better. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, talking to saved folks again, partakers of the heavenly calling. We're talking about that call. Where did it come from? It came from heaven. Say, where'd that book come? It came from heaven. And brother, when that book is taught, when that book is preached, when that book is believed, the Holy Ghost of God accompanies the very words of God and works a work in your heart. And if you'll believe it and trust it, he'll save you. You say, what is that? That's the call unto salvation. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priests of our profession, Jesus Christ. He's the one that made it profitable. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Can't get there through a priest. Can't get there through a church. You can't get there through a baptism. You can't get there being good. Look, it's the finished work of Christ. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. When God calls you to salvation, you're either going to accept it or reject it. And you'll have a stack of, especially if you're a little older and you've gone down life's trail a little bit. Now, if you're a child, have you ever noticed how simple a child gets saved? They're dealing with VBS this week. I don't know if you've had anybody saved yet, but Matt and Miss Carla, they work with those kids back there every Sunday. A lot of times we'll hear somebody getting saved. Say, why? Kids get saved pretty easy. So we're real careful with kids. We don't push them into anything. We want them to know they need a Savior. And who knows, after weeks of teaching and preaching and loving them, they say, hey, you know, I'd like to get saved. They get saved a whole lot easier than somebody's about 25 or 30. You say, why? Time you're 25, 30 years old, 40 years old, you done think you got it figured out. And you're living a miserable life. You don't care about nobody but yourself. And the next thing you know, you're headed for a train wreck in your life. And all, if you live like that all your life, when you die, you'll split hell wide open. And people want to get up and just tell you, patty cake around, tiptoe around through that thing. Why? I had a woman in my church years ago. She was a young woman. I don't know. How old was Jen? The 20s. Raised in a religious home, religious family. Went to church every Sunday night, done it all. But was never saved. My son-in-law come in and preached a real simple message on getting saved on a Wednesday night. Nobody there. She was there. Husband was there. And didn't she get up and go to the basement of the church? Bonnie was there. At that time, my wife, she didn't have a wheelchair. And she followed her down to the basement. Said, what's wrong? She blurted out, I'm not saved. It's been a lie. Say, what caused that? The only thing that can cause that is the Holy Ghost of God. Say, what happened? She got saved. Come back and told everybody, I've got saved. She was married to my oldest son. She's now a pastor's wife for quite a few years. Say, what's she doing? Telling people how to get saved. She was holding on to that religion, what grandma said, what grandpa said, what daddy said, what mommy said. Never had a personal relationship with just her and God. You say, what are you talking about? The call unto salvation. And he's talking about it right here in our text. He said, you're called. And I want to deal with that other thought there. He says, in Romans 11:29, that verse is used quite a bit in reference to people that are called into the ministry. And I got a note here. You are to make that sure. And that's what he said, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And when we got back in our text up here, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, this is our Sunday school lesson, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How do I make that sure? Well, you can't ask somebody, am I saved? They're going to say, I don't know. And they don't. We don't. Well, I'm going to go ask my mom if I'm saved. She don't know. She wants you saved. If she's honest, she'll tell you to figure it out for yourself. If she ain't honest, well, yeah, you're saved. Well, that's damning. What if you're really not and you're believing on a false premise that you're saved? You get to the end of your life and the Lord says, you really weren't saved. Wow. So make your calling and election sure. You are to make that sure, the call to salvation, your calling and election. Now, a lot of young people, they'll struggle with that. I raised 7 children in my home, and they'll say, Dad, did I get saved? I don't know. Honoring and mean as you are, probably not. You don't act saved. You said that? Probably. You can ask some of them. I don't know. Then we just wait. Some of them waited for a long time. How old was Brittany when she got saved? 13? It's just getting a little old because a lot of them got saved. Jeremiah had more sense. He got saved a little younger. Jana, a little younger. But Brittany, my dad's the preacher. Well, see Brother Hines. He grew up in a Christian home on Mishfield someplace. He knows all about this stuff. He's laughing with her. But finally, Brittany broke. You say, what broke her? Holy Ghost. I didn't break her. Took care of her, fed her. You know, done all the stuff we had. And finally, I think she, I can't remember for sure, it's quite a testimony. She said, I'm going to hell. Yeah. Man, it's great when people come to that realization. I don't know where God is. So I think me or her mother, might have been me. Bonnie did, yeah. Led another one to the Lord at 13. But you make it sure. You say, well, what if I struggle? Well, if I don't know, I'd make it sure. You say, well, I think I did. I'd make it sure. I'd be emphatic about it. I'd say, no, I know. And if I'm not sure, I'd get down someplace and say, God, I don't know if I ever know, but man, that book's got me. Man, the Holy Ghost has got me. Shame me. He'll move in. Say, what are you doing? He said, make it sure. Make your calling and election sure. Might straighten out a whole lot of kinks in the road for you. And that's, I'd give you thought A, the reference to the first is called to be saved. The sub point under that B, you are to make that sure, the call to salvation, your calling and election. And then the word election means to choose. Elect means here, election in its form is a choosing or electing those in a group. You say, well, how do I get elect? Am I elect? Maybe I'm not elect. And there's a big bunch of mess out there in Christendom called Calvinism that says, well, God only died for a couple over here. That's not true. And that's a misuse of the term election there. You say, well, how do you know? It's the English language. Election could be the Biden-Harrison ticket. They're running for re-election. Has nothing to do with your salvation. You see what I'm saying? The English language, you got to understand a little bit what's going on. Election here in the sight of God. Now look, God's perfect. God is pure. God is holy. I thought about this for a moment, and I gave you this verse earlier, 2 Peter 3:9. God doesn't want anybody to die in sin and go to hell. 2 Peter 3:9. I gave you the verse earlier. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do all come? No. Are all called? Yes. Say, well, what if I'm not in the elect? Nobody's in the elect. The only way you get in the elect is by getting saved. And that's on you. That's your will. God doesn't infringe upon your will. You can be as mean as you want to be, as happy as you want to be, as contrary, as good. But look, he doesn't infringe upon your will. He'll never do that. And the Lord has extended to all that choosing. But you must choose to get in the elect, okay? You got a train running to glory. And the name of that train is the Red Ball Express. No, that train's name is election. You say, well, I want on that train. The only way you're going to get on that train is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said anybody can ride it, but you got to come through the ticket man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I stood on a street corner in downtown Cincinnati with a handful of tracks, and it just hit me one day. I got a ticket to glory, and I started hollering, tickets! I got free tickets! 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 I got free tickets! Man, they was lined up behind me to get those free tickets. I passed out them gospel tracks, and then I had to run for my life. No. There's something wrong with you. No, man, I'm saved. I'm going to glory. You can get on the train headed for glory. Here's a free ticket. I don't recommend you go do that down at the ball game. Romans 10. We always quote Romans 10, 9 and 10, verse 13. But watch. I told you, he wants everybody in. And that's all summed up in a good word found in the King James Bible. And that word is whosoever will. How do I get elect? but getting saved. Because when you get saved, you get put on the train to glory and you can't get off. Amen. And I don't have time to develop that. See my pamphlet on eternal security. And the Lord, Romans 10:11, for the Scripture saith, I said we're going on the authority of this book. You believe this book, don't mind rightly dividing it, getting what's for you, for the church, what's for the church, and for the Jew, what's for the Jew. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him, that's whosoever, anybody can do it, believeth on Him, who? Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. People, I'm ashamed. Get down with all them hypocrites at church. I don't know. You go to the store with them. Go to school with them. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And that took care of Peter's troubles and anybody else's troubles. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. There's that call again. He calls you. You call on Him. Verse 13, for whosoever... Who's that? That's whosoever, man. That means anybody. Big, little, fat, skinny, black, white, red, yellow. I don't care. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, you want to get saved today? And you know you're a sinner headed for hell? And you're tired of fooling around with your religion? Fooling around with what you thought? Fooling around with what somebody told you? I mean, lay it all down and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him. Call on Him. He'll save you. Charles Spurgeon said this. I also wanted to touch on the call of the ministry. I'm almost out of time. So the second here, or the call to ministry. There's the call to salvation. There's the call to ministry. The call to ministry, you must make that call, that calling and election sure also. God calls a man to preach, calls a man to teach, calls a man to be an evangelist or a missionary. You need to make that call sure. Be hopping around like a cat on a hot tin roof if you don't make that thing sure. And a lot of people, the Bible says, he that desireth the office of a bishop, desireth the good thing, generally only comes from a man that's called. Somebody with a right mind that wasn't called would ever want that job. But you'd be surprised how many hirelings there are out there, and they want the prestige, they want the power, and if they can get any money milked out of it, they want that. Now, I don't have time to develop that thought, but you understand what I'm saying. So that second thought in that call that Peter teaches us here in our text is the call unto ministry, the call to preach, pastor, teach. I won't limit it to just that. It might be missions. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon identified the first sign of God's call to the ministry as an intense, all-absorbing desire for the work. Now, that's pretty good. Those called by God sense a growing compulsion to preach and teach the Word and to minister to the people of God. The call to ministry, and I dealt with call to salvation, the call to ministry to preach, let's just go call to preach. It's not a vocation. It's not, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go get 4 years of Bible school and I'm going to be a priest, a preacher. Well, we've got enough of those, okay? Because God wants the God called. And He does that calling also. And it's like the call to salvation. It's a heavenly calling. It comes through the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. And could I say this? I've always said this to Bible students and institute classes. Because you always have folks in there, they don't know if they're called or not, and how do you know if you're called? You get that answer all the time, question all the time. I said, well, number one, I can eliminate a whole bunch of you. If you're lazy, God ain't calling you. If you're not in church, God ain't calling you. Now, is that true? Probably not. It's probably, you know, but man, I just get wore out with that thing. You shouldn't do that, I know. I told you I wasn't perfect. Watch. Let me quit with this. We read Spurgeon's comments. Those called by God sense a growing compulsion and compassion to preach and teach the Word and to minister to the people of God. I'm just quoting another great author. How to make the calling and election sure. Say, well, okay, if I think, okay, I know I'm saved. God called me. I've settled that. I made it sure. I'm good. Okay, now what? Well, if you're a man, God might call you to preach. And I don't have time to develop the thought of people saying, well, is the woman called? She's called, but not in the capacity of man's call. He makes that very clear. A lot of confusion out there in Christendom on that. I don't have time this morning to talk about that. But you say, how do I make that calling and election sure? Number one, pray about it. Two, get in church every time the door's open. Amen. Three, get in the book. If you ain't reading the Bible faithfully, you'll be confused. Make sure your wife is on board, your husband is on board, for the wife and the husband are one. Ephesians chapter 5, I don't have time to go there. They're a unit, they're one. They're not on the same page, they need to strive to get that fixed before they go any further for God. God called Moses, remember that? I want you to deliver my people. What did Moses do? Man, he's already educated in the world. He knew it. He was 40 years old. Well, he run out and killed a guy. Well, that's a spiritual move. So what happened? Well, God put him on the backside of the desert for 40 more years, teaching him, I guess, how he ought to behave himself. And then he was able to go on. It was just because God calls you, and the gifts and callings are without repentance. But, brother, we sure have a way of messing that up, don't we? Let me finish. Be willing to change your life for the call. Boy, that worked for salvation or the call to ministry. Most people, no, I like who I am and what I am and how I do it and how I think. Okay, have a nice day. See you at the judgment. So that ain't very nice, Brother Phil. I'm just telling you, a whole lot of people run around. They say they're saved. They're not saved. Well, they're religious, but they're not saved. Say, what happened? God called, but they were pulling a little red wagon full of all that junk, and they couldn't lay it down and trust Him and Him alone. Kind of that way with guys get called to preach. Titus isn't here. I'm hoping he gets in. Said he might try to make it today. Special day. Brother Tom in preaching. Brother Jeremiah. But he was in Bible school 4 years out there. He said, Dad, you wouldn't believe the guys that maybe God did call, but they weren't. They couldn't give up hot rods. They couldn't give up this. And it was just terrible. Mess your life up, man. All right, if you cannot do these things, we're talking, I give you five things there, you will never be used of God, although He has called you. Verse 10, for if ye do these things, verse 10 is our text. Here, I'm done with this. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. If you don't do them, I can prophesy, you're going to fall. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for giving me utterance to speak your word. I'm thankful, Lord, for the transparency of the word of God and that we don't have to apologize for it. It is what it is. But, Lord, it's our cornerstone. It's our foundation. So I ask you now to bless the preacher, bless the preaching, the singing, the specials, and all that goes on. May it bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.